This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
All right, Houston, this is Gilbert Garcia with a tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer with another episode. My sidekick, Ruby Dang, is not with me because her tooth broke. But that's okay because I have Connie Falcon Davis, longtime Houston resident, and Reagan High School.
Austin High School.
Austin High School. I always say that. I always get that wrong. I want to play this song, and I'm going to play its entire at the end because my daughter turned 17.
Aww.
And for those of you who are dads out there, just listen to this. I'll play it in its entirety. Butterfly Kisses. And it's okay to cry. These two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven. And she's daddy's little girl. As I drop to my knees by her bed at night, she talks to Jesus. And I close my eyes and I thank God for all the joy in my life. Just listen to this.
It's beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's my first ride. I know the cake looks funny, Daddy, but I should
show those pictures of my daughter there on the website for everybody, producer.
I must have done something.
My daughter still hugs me and she still loves me. At 17. There she is.
Aww.
There she is. But look at her when she was a baby.
Cutie.
Oh my God. Look at that. God, and I had hair and it was black. Look at her. That was her 17th. Oh, my God.
She's a young woman.
We had the daddy-daughter day at St. Agnes High School. Just listen to this song. She's 16 today. She's looking like her mama a little more every day. One part woman, the other part girl, to perfume and makeup from ribbons and curls, trying her wings out in a great big world. But I remember those butterfly kisses.
I remember.
Oh, and I remember them like yesterday.
Butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. You know how much I love you, Daddy, but if you don't mind, I'm only gonna kiss you on the cheek this
I remember night. When my daughter told me she's only gonna kiss me on the cheek. Oh, that was like the end of me right there.
How old was she?
She was about 11.
Aw, they grow fast.
I know. For all I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve her love every morning. I can't even imagine this next verse. She'll change her name today. She'll make a promise and I'll give her away. Oh, I can't do it, Connie. Standing in the bride room just staring at her, she asked me what I'm thinking. And I said, I'm not sure. I just feel like I'm losing my baby girl. I just feel like I'm losing my baby. And she leaned over.
She leaned over. Gave me butterfly kisses with her mom there.
Oh, I can't even imagine it. Walk me down the aisle, Daddy. It's just about time. Does my wedding gown look pretty, Daddy? Daddy, don't cry.
It's just about time. Does my wedding gown look pretty, Daddy? Daddy, don't cry. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve.
I must have done something right to deserve her love every morning.
And butterfly kisses. I couldn't ask God for more. Man, this is what love is. I know I gotta let her go,
but I'll always remember every hug in the morning and butterfly kisses. Oh my gosh. So I just want to do one more thing before we get to business here, Houston, is so I was at the father-daughter day at St. Agnes, and we had a brunch and we had a mass. For those who are not Catholic, that's our service. And there was an incredible prayer that was up on the video for all of us to say, all the fathers. And I just thought I would read it. And again, this is my father-daughter episode because it's my daughter's birthday this month. Creator God, I thank you for the amazing gift of my daughter and the incredible joy that she brings me. I have been blessed beyond measure, and I am so proud to be her dad. Lord, please give my daughter an awareness of your immense love for her. Help her to know that she was created out of love and that there is a higher purpose for her life. May she continue to gain knowledge and wisdom, and then dare to dream of the way she can use those gifts in a way that serves others and glorifies you. Faithful companion, help my daughter to walk confidently, knowing that you are always with her. Humbly, Lord, I come before you. Please help me to be the best father I can be. Help me to remember to tell my daughter every day how much I love her and how proud I am of her. Help me to make the most of every moment we get to spend together. Most importantly, please help me to lead my daughter closer to you, our Creator, Redeemer, Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I love that prayer.
Oh, and my daughter hugged me. It was just a wonderful thing. Well, I want to get talking about a few things because I had the pleasure. Oh, we have already a couple of callers, I understand. But before we go there, I want to talk a little about Metro because everyone knows I'm running for mayor now. And, of course, the transit haters come out every election. And we all know who they are, the smartest guys in the room, and they blog about it. And I'm getting calls from the same old guys. And you know what? You would think they would have figured it out, that the voters recognize the importance of transit. But here they go again. And now I'm going to tell you the secret intrigue I hear that's bubbling out there. And I don't know if it is or isn't, but this is what's bubbling out there. So first, let me get one of those callers. Who do I got there, producer?
Hello, Dominic. I'm from Free
United. Dominic. Well, Dominic's Mr. Metro. So Dominic, are you there, Dominic? Dominic, are you there?
Hey, Gary, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Before you launch, you know.
Okay.
No, no. Before you launch, Dominic, I want to say something. You know, it's election season because the Metro haters are out. And you know what bothers me is when people tell me, and everywhere people know me kind of as Mr. Metro. I was chairman of Metro from 2010 to 16 when we turned around a very difficult organization that was broke, that was in the media all the time for negative stuff, and they violated their own procurement rules. You name it, it was done. And we turned it around. But here's the thing, Dominic. The voters voted in 2003. That was the first referendum. We've had two more referendums. One in 2012 for the general mobility to continue to get money Metro and get more money to Metro. And the other was for expansion of Metro BRT and other projects. And they have won the last two overwhelmingly. Mine was 80% of the vote in 2012. And when I see these candidates, and I heard Senator Whitmire say Metro doesn't listen. And like, what do you mean Metro doesn't listen? We listen to the will of the voters. And the voters spoke. They want transit. And they want transit, and they want more transit, because they recognize that Houston is paralyzed. We cannot get anywhere anymore. You can't even drive on that West Loop anymore. It is so paralyzed. Some of our big streets are paralyzed, 59. And at the end of the day, if you start eliminating transit, I mean, what are all those cars? Where are we going to fit them? The other thing that gets me, Dominic, is when they talk about Metro doesn't listen, we listen to the will of the voters. And remember, the voters spoke. A mayor is not a dictator. A mayor can't say, and maybe some mayors do, but this person won't if he's mayor. If the voters spoke, I'm not going to say I know better than the voters. If the voters want transit on the Post Oak Corridor, that's what they voted for. That's how they voted to support. And that's what they've done multiple times. Just like the voters voted to have pay parity with the firefighters, they voted, and it's time to implement it. At the end of the day, I'm going to talk a lot more about these Metro haters, because you can already see all the blogs coming out as they're getting ready to raid Metro again. Go ahead there, Dominic. What do you got?
Gil, my thing is, number one, Metro is more than the city of Houston.
Amen.
Okay. Metro has 9 members. 5 are from the city. 2 are from Harris County, and 2 are from the multi-cities. That would be like the multi-cities along I-10, Bel Air, West
right.
U, et cetera.
Humble, Katy, you got it. West U, Bel Air.
Okay, so basically, Metro is all of all Houston, multiple cities, and the 2 western precincts of Harris County. And it goes into parts of 3 other counties because of the where the city limits are.
Right.
So this is the thing is with the thing about we can't where in the Hades are we going to expand the freeway? There's no way. You got to take more private land. We can't do it anymore. And I'll go back and say how I got into this. When I was in college or in high school, my parents sent me on Amtrak to Chicago. I was in Chicago during rush hour, going from the train station to the Costa station back. And I saw gobs of people running out of downtown. Well, first of all, I thought it was a disaster.
Thought it was like the movie Earthquake. You thought it was Earthquake, and everybody's like, things are falling out of the sky and all that. Go ahead, Dominic.
You know, and I'm out from Houston. I'm going, what's going on here, folks? And then until I realized people were running to Union Station. They were running to Chicago Northwestern Station to pick up their commuter trains. And then I come back, and this is the pre-wind I-45. I'm going, we can't do this anymore. You know, I went to a city, I saw something that worked. And I said, but the thing is, I think with BRT, and I think this is something that Metro is not.
And just to be clear, listeners, BRT means you do the same thing as a rail, meaning you have transit in the center of the street, and it goes all the way up and back with frequency, et cetera, but it's on buses. But it looks kind of like a rail. Go ahead there, Dominic.
Okay. Gil, that's one thing about that. With rail, you have to put everything together. With BRT, it is conceivable that you can have that special lane you're talking about down the middle, say, like we have now down Post Oak. But it is possible that during the construction, you could have a segment that special lane is not built. It could go in the regular traffic lanes. It's incremental. It's not this. It's got to be have everything in or not. Because technically speaking, if you had bi-directional BRT, HOV lanes in our freeways all the way, and our park and ride buses would be using it, that would actually be considered BRT.
Right.
Also, too, we also have 2 BRT projects going. most people are focusing on university. However, we also had Inner K, which would run from the Northwest Transit Center to the Amtrak station, the old post office, the Permian City, the aquarium area. That's where it would come. It would be part of that current HOV lane that we have, LVV lane that we have. It would be elevated. It will have bus stations along the line, but also our commuter buses will also use it because it will have bypass lanes at the three stations. So I think my thing is Metro. I'm going to blame Metro on something. I don't think they're doing a very good job advertising what BRT can do. I think they got this idea, again, like you just mentioned, just BRT in a bus corridor. Another thing is the 402 line along Bel Air Boulevard, which is a skip-stop bus. That is considered BRT-like. So there's various flavors of BRT, and it can be more advanced and placed in service incrementally. And I think Metro is forgetting that.
Well, remember, very good, Dominic. That's a good lesson. I appreciate you, Dominic. You know what? I'm going to have to cut you shorter today than normal only because I've got several callers on hold, pal. Do you mind calling again next week and let's talk more Metro?
Bingo.
Thank you, pal. I want to get this gentleman on the line, Daniel Box, because I've known Daniel a little bit, not real well. Of course, he's a member of what's called the Hope Union. The Hope Union is all the city workers, but the non-fire and non-police. And it started, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with AFSCME and SEIU started it, and then it spun it out, and now it's called Hope. And Daniel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Daniel Box has been a loyal member of Hope and a city employee, but he has a lot to say. And a lot of the things he has to say, I think, are very important and needs to get out there because I have firsthand experience with part of what he's going to say. So, Daniel Box, the mic is yours. You are talking to five different radio stations, KWWJ, KYOK, KCOH, Aliento Radio, and San Geet, here on A Tip from Gilbert. So what do you got? Educate us.
I appreciate it. Well, first of all, I've been a city employee for 18 years, and I was one of the founding members of the Houston Organization of Public Employees.
That's Hope, of course. Yes.
That's Hope, exactly. And you were right. We were part AFSCME and part SEIU, which was very rare that you have two international unions that were one. But about 8-9 years ago, we parted ways with SEIU and became a complete AFSCME affiliate. One of the things I'm trying to let our people know, and that's city workers and members, is the problems that we are having with our local union right now. One of those problems is we are in the middle of nominations and elections, and our union is not going out there and letting people know.
Mm-hmm. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar there, Dave? Yeah. I mean, right? Keep going.
So there was supposed to be elections in March. There weren't. I was supposed to be a candidate for president at that time. I was illegally removed from the union. I was illegally removed from the ballot. And because there was nobody else running against any of these positions, these people automatically appointed themselves the leadership of our union without a vote taken. I then filed charges with AFSCME International, and I had my removal judge asked me, said, Box, you're absolutely right. They illegally removed you. You're now back as a member.
So let me get this straight. So they had elections. You were the only race that was contested, and they conveniently bent the rules to get you knocked off the ballot and, of course, had their election. And then, which, of course, there was no election because everybody just got reappointed, really. And then
exactly. And then
you went to the higher ups and said, this isn't right. And they agreed with you. And they reinstated you into the union.
They reinstated me into the union. They said also they illegally removed you from the ballot and you need to be put back on the ballot. But I didn't stop there. I said, International, I said, hang on. I said, they did this to everybody in the union. I said, they had an election without nominations. I said, there's dozens of positions that are supposed to be up for nominations. I said, I filed another protest and had the election completely thrown out.
So you filed another protest, and were you successful?
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's now, and so now, where are we? Are those officers then not officers?
No. So the way our constitutions read is that they are still leaders until the new election is actually held. So
I see.
What has happened is now we have nominations. Nominations are going to happen tomorrow night at 6:30 at Hope's office, and it's going to be at 2506 Sutherland. The opening positions are going to be for president, vice president, secretary, treasurer. Public Works has 4 positions. Public Safety has 2 positions. Aviation District has a position. Downtown District has a position. Health District has a position. Parks and Recreation has a position. And Solid Waste District has a position. Why am I doing this? Because they're not letting the membership know.
Oh, my goodness.
They're not telling people they have a right to nominate people. I was out at Solid Waste last week, and literally the day before, they had a Hope representative out there talking to the members, and not once did they ever say anything about nominations or elections happening within the next 2 weeks. This union has known since July 31st, that these nominations and everything had to be done within 60 days, and they have made zero effort to notify the membership.
I mean, Daniel, come on, that's ridiculous. And so, I mean, where's the mayor in all this, or people in City Hall? I mean, the workers work for the city. Does the city have a responsibility to make sure the election's appropriate or fair?
No, zero. That is 100% on the membership, and it's 100% on AFSCME International to make sure it happens.
Is AFSCME International, I don't know, monitoring the election and making sure it's going to be done right?
So they are in the process of doing it now. They are overseeing it. But here's the issue. This is the issue, Gilbert. They are doing what is required at the absolute minimum.
Yep, always.
What is required. You follow me? So here, I'll give you an example. If you go over to Hope website right now, and you go onto Hope123's website, you will not find one statement about nominations or elections. It talks about the Labor Day party.
Oh, gosh.
If you go to the calendar section, and you go to the calendar section, there is nothing listed for the 19th for nominations, and there's nothing listed for 26th of September for elections. There's nothing. So they're doing the bare minimum. Now, what was the bare minimum? The bare minimum by Constitution is they had to do a mail out to the members' last known address. Our union has known for years that we have bad addresses. We get hundreds upon hundreds of return addresses every time we do an election. And what does our union do?
Nothing. Zero. They don't want to get you to vote. They don't want you to vote.
They don't want people to know. So here's the other thing. Usually we have about 10 to 12 different places throughout the city to cast a ballot. This time around, we only have 5 locations, and all of them are in a Public Works and Engineering site or is at Hope's office, which makes it incredibly difficult if you're in municipal court. It makes it incredibly difficult if you're a solid waste person. It makes it incredibly difficult if you're in police and fire, because that means you have to drive to a Public Works and Engineering facility to go cast a ballot. Once again, as far as I'm concerned, this is voter suppression.
You know, it's interesting because, look, I'm a union man, but sometimes power can go to people's heads sometimes. And it all goes back to when you're in a leadership position, you got to set a strong tone at the top to do things right. Who's the head of that union?
Well, right now, the head of the union is her name is Sonia Rico. But here's the deal. I'm not even mentioning names because let me tell you the reason why.
Okay, excuse me for asking then.
I'm not even mentioning names. Let me tell you the reason why. They have not earned the membership's respect to know that name.
Gotcha.
They have been cheated out of an election. And now they're doing the absolute minimum to let anybody know that there's an election. Now, why does this election count so much? Gilbert, that's the question at the end of the day. Why does this? Because what happens is, these people are going to be in charge of leading our next contract negotiations with the mayor next year. So you want people that, one, will one, cheat you out of an election. Oh, by the way, we have some issues with the finances. That's what started this to begin with.
Of course. It's always money. Dan, it's always money.
Yes, it is. Not being transparent with what's going on with the finances, because at the end of the day, that's the membership's money, not their money. Do you want these people behind closed doors negotiating your contract with the city?
No.
That's the answer. No. And keep in mind, we have about 2,600 members. But the problem is this contract is going to affect 11,000 city workers, whether they're members or not. So this contract is binding on all city workers, whether they're members or not. So if you're not a member, that's fine. But if you know a member, you need to tell them to be out there on the 19th. And then you need to make sure they go out and vote on the 26th.
So let me go through this again. So the election goes from when to when?
So the election is on one day only. It is on
one day only.
Except from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
And is every office contested?
Well, so we'll find out tomorrow night, because that's when nominations are. And that's when you will know who's running for what. And at that point, that's when they get placed on the ballot. That's the reason why nominations tomorrow night on September 19th at 6:30 p.m. at 2506 Sutherland. We need our membership to come out. We need you to nominate. And the only requirement you have to be to run for any of those positions is be a member for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of misinformation going around, because you have leadership that's telling people that you have to be active. That is an absolute false statement. The only requirement under our Constitution, the only requirement under the election code, is that you be a member for 1 year. And you have the right to nominate yourself. Now, with that being said, I'm running for president. If there's somebody else out there to think they can do a better job, the more the merrier, come and nominate yourself. Competition is what builds union.
Amen. You know, that's right. And you know what? Y'all should debate the issues. I've gone to probably, 30 forums already. That's a good, healthy thing for people to see. What are you going to do? I really encourage everyone, all the city workers, or somebody knows a city worker, to get engaged. And no, I'm not going to say who to vote for, but at the end of the day, vote, get involved, learn the issues, and then vote what's right. It seems to me, though, you got to change them all out somehow and start over. That's what it sounds like to me, Daniel.
And it begins with this election process. That is why that's the reason why so much pressure is being put on to suppress the vote. Because here's the deal. Their fear is there's going to be multiple nominations.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's multiple nominations, that means that people are going to start getting engaged. And if people start getting engaged, people are going to start asking questions. And if people start asking questions, these people have no answers.
Well, I hope you come on the show next week, because I want to get closer to the election so we can really talk of the issues. Would that be good with you?
I would love to be.
Yeah, because I think that's important. I think you let out a good platform now, which is everyone pay attention. Really, it's about pay attention. And we're going to have the nominations here soon. And then that means next week we'll know who's on the ballot. And then we can kind of talk about it. You know, but, you know, I don't play poker, but I know the concept of poker when they say, I'll see your hand and now I'll raise you this. Well, I'm going to see your hand on this and I'm going to raise you just because we're talking about sort of power. So there's a group called the Tohono Democrats, and, you know, it's got a long history of people and so forth and doing good things and so forth. But so, you know, I've been a member off and on for many, many years, and I know lots of members, et cetera. And all the candidates screened, and of course I screened. And then we, the other night, had the elections, meaning the screening committee made the recommendation to the group, and the group then votes on who to endorse. And the screening committee recommended me. Well, it makes sense. Number one, I'm a Tohono. Number two, I'm a Democrat. But go figure. So are you ready for this? In the rules, which no one can figure out the rules, remember, it's always about the rules, Daniel. In the rules, it showed that someone could show up the day of the election, if you had ever been a member anywhere in time, ever, and of course there's no proof, but you could show up and pay your dues on the spot and vote right then and there, just like that. So, of course, John Whitmire's team shows up with like 60 people and they paid all their dues right then and there and they get the nomination, even though I was the recommended person. Can you believe that? They just showed up right then and there. And these are people who will probably never attend a meeting ever again, but they're there. I wonder who paid for it all. 60 people or so just paid right then and there, Daniel, to become a member just that day, just to vote. And of course, they voted for John Whitmire because that's just, I guess, what he does. So I was a jilted bride at the altar because I was nominated by the screening committee, but the 50 new players that day, and of course they'll just evaporate it from there, I'm sure, did not vote for me. Of course, I had my voters, but they were people. Anyways, I'm not going to, you know, Daniel, for me, I'm not going to participate in that type of stuff. I think it's pay to play, and I'm not going to do it. And I think it's time for people to stand up and say, pay to play is not right. Bending rules is not right. You know what's right. Trying to just take something because of just power's sake is not right. And the people need to stand up and they need to know what's going on. And so just count me in there as someone that wants to have you back on next week. And let's just talk it through, pal.
I would love to. And of course, I got to return the favor. You raise, you show me your hand, and now I have to
raise it. tell me. I want to hear.
Here's the deal. So at least your people had a chance to vote. The membership of Hope did not have a chance to vote on who they were going to support as mayor. They were told who they were going to support as mayor. And this is a violation of their constitutional rights under AFSCME that says that any type of decision that will affect them or their families, they have a right to have a say. And they were denied a vote on who they were going to support.
Well, you know, that's when in poker, I think you say, I fold, because I think you won up to me. I fold and you can take the chips. We're going to talk a lot more about this, Daniel. So please commit to me. You'll call in again because I really want to talk and drill down on this a little bit more. And I'll tell you my experience when I screened with Hope.
Well, hey, I want to appreciate you inviting me. I want to tell your listeners, keep in mind that city workers are the unsung heroes of this city. The prosperity and the wealth of this city is built on their backs. And please take that to heart.
Amen.
Yes, police and fire are good, but the fact is, I ain't never seen no police car go down the street unless a city worker worked on it, and fires don't get put out unless we put water in them pipes.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yep. So you know what, Daniel, you sold me, pal. I want you to come on again, and I thank you for calling in.
Thank you so very much, and Gilbert, good luck.
Well, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to make you proud, and we'll let the only sort of vote, and it's not pay to play, is election day. And there you go.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Yes, sir. So that was a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that. And, you know, it's always about power and money somehow, Connie. And it shouldn't be. It should be about good government and transparency. And that's what I'm trying to do to the city. And, of course, I'm going to bring a lot more about Metro here in just a second. But we have another caller. There is a... Alejandro. Is there Alejandro?
Alejandro?
Is there Alejandro? Isn't that a song? Alejandro?
Yes, Madonna.
Is it Madonna?
I think.
No, isn't it Lady Gaga?
Oh, yeah. Or maybe was it Lady Gaga?
Or is it ABBA?
I don't know.
Okay. That's
we'll have to look it up.
Exactly why I need you here on this show. Alejandro, are you there?
I am here, Gilbert. Good morning.
Good morning. What do you got, my friend? You're on a tip from Gilbert. Talk inspiration and prayer.
Well, I just wanted to say, I wanted to ask you a question. What are you doing for Hispanic Heritage Month? It just started this week, and I was going to see what were your plans. And if you didn't have any, I may have some suggestions for you.
Wow, look at this. Alejandro. I mean, well, first of all, I'm doing a lot. And I am, meaning not me, our firm, is sponsoring NPR's the whole month for Hispanic Heritage. What they are doing is they're playing snippets of great Hispanic leaders in history. And, you know, it's like a 1 minute thing about them. And then it says, you know, sponsored by Gilbert Garcia. And, oh, someone's telling me ABBA is the song for Alejandro. Thank you. I don't know who that listener was, but thank you.
There's also a Lady Gaga song.
Or maybe there's a Lady Gaga. But going back, so it'll say, and sponsored by Gilbert Garcia and Garcia Hamilton and Associates. You know, if not us, who? We're the largest Hispanic money management firm in the country. Of course, we should support these things. And one of those persons is Dr. Hector P. Garcia. And Dr. Hector P. Garcia is a legend in the Latino community. And he was a World War II hero, did many, multiple award, a medal winner, and did many of these bombing raids, a very, very accomplished World War II combat veteran, wow, as many Latinos were. And one of his veteran friends was, I believe, Felix Longoria. It's a very famous story. And are you ready for this? He died, mm-hmm, and they wanted to bury him at his hometown. And I think it was Crystal City or Three Rivers, a small town in Texas. And are you ready for this? Uh-huh. Somebody wants to call in about talking about voting for Whitmire. I'm happy to have him call in. That's fine. So Jeremy, if you're hearing me, you're certainly welcome to call in. So just for that, hopefully if I don't get you this episode, come again another episode. If you don't mind, but I'm happy to have anyone call in about anybody. That's what transparency is. Let me just finish this. But Jeremy, hopefully you heard me. Let me just keep going. And so they wouldn't bury him in the city cemetery because he was Hispanic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's how times were back then. And Dr. Hector P. was so angry. He went to a young U.S. Senator, Lyndon Johnson, and said, you know, this is, and I'm bleeping beep. Mm-hmm. And Johnson agreed. So Lyndon Johnson had him buried in Arlington National Cemetery with full honors. From there launched a movement called the American GI Forum. And the American GI Forum is probably one of the largest Hispanic civil rights groups, but it started about veterans. And he was always fighting about, you know, for veteran rights and Latino rights, et cetera. He got what's called the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest award that a civilian can get in the United States. And he received it from Ronald Reagan. And the bottom line is he was a mentor to me. Mm-hmm. And I knew him. And he took me around when I was in high school to different things. And he is one of those that's being honored by NPR.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
So continuing, the other thing that I'm doing, I'm a board member of the Children's Museum, but more importantly, I also am I use the Children's Museum. In other words, I had four kids go through that museum. And the Children's Museum is wonderful. For those of you who cannot go, please let me know and I'll get you tickets because it is wonderful. And at the end of the day, there are 13 exhibits, and almost a million people go through our facilities every year, about 700,000 in the building and then some on the remote things that we do. And in the exhibits, they're all designed by child psychologists and therapists and all these brilliant minds of what makes kids learn. So they're fantastic. And we are celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month all month long. And we have an award this coming weekend where we're giving an award to Dr. Dorothy Karam, who's been a leader in the Latino community for decades. And this last week, we had the Ballet Folklorico group, and I was with them on television and on a morning show. So at the end of the day, I've been everywhere. Remember like that Johnny Cash song? I've been everywhere, man. Uh-huh. I've been everywhere. And he lists like 30 cities that you never heard of. I've been to Beaumont, Omaha, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's me. But you tell me, what are you doing? And what was your idea for me?
Well, it sounded like you had your hands full. But if you find yourself with some extra time this weekend, I believe the Miller Outdoor Theater has this really awesome event where they are playing a bunch of romantic songs. And I'm a big romantic song kind of guy. Uh-huh, for free, I believe.
Date night with Dee Dee.
Oh my God! Who's the artist?
I believe it's going to be a couple of different groups, some mariachi bands, and whatnot. So it's just going to be a variety of different music. But I heard it's going to be a great show, and I was going to suggest that if you had some time, definitely check that out. I know I'll be there.
Well, I can tell you one of the things I'm doing, and I don't recall what day I'm doing it because I'm just running hard. But at the end of the day, I am going to be watching America's Got Talent with a bunch of Hispanics because the young boy, the mariachi singer from Houston, Texas.
Oh, I heard about him. Yes.
And I have a picture with him and me and my wife. And I'm looking through my phone because I'm trying to get his name. At the end of the day, you know what I mean. He's wonderful. He sings, and he's just the nicest young man. He's just wonderful. And so I'm going to be watching. I think it's Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, is it this week?
It's this week.
Okay, great.
It's this week. And so I'm going to be watching that show. And so it's going to be great. But I really appreciate you calling in. And you have a great Hispanic Heritage Month, and I will certainly do the same.
Thank you very much, Gilbert. Connie, you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, my friend. So let's go to – I want to get back to Metro a little bit, and I got it. And, I was trying to reach out to Metro, and I didn't get the information I was hoping to get, but I will get it, and I'll talk about it next week because – again, one of the smartest guys in the room, again, put this thing out about the Metro cost and all. Essentially, he's trying to blow up the cost to say that we're only Houston riders are paying 4% of the cost of their rides. Oh. But what he's not telling you is the biggest subsidy are the people who are most in need of transit. And you know who those are? Those are the ones that use Metro Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's that in the Bible? Whatsoever we do to the least of our brothers, we do unto you or something. You know, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, these are the people who need transit the most just to be able to experience mobility, experience life. So when you start throwing stones, are you trying to say that you want to like eliminate Metro Lyft? Is that what we've come to now? That we want to just like be so callous? That yes, we've been subsidizing them. I understand that, but we want to be so callous as just to say, well, you were riding Metro Lyft, and guess what? The subsidy's too much, so we're just going to eliminate it. Yeah. My goodness, what is society coming down to? And I say no to that. I think Metro Lyft is a vital function, just like other things. That's like saying, well, the cost of putting ramps up is too much, so let's quit putting up ramps. Well, the American for Disability Act says people need to have access. That's the law. You know, but it's like saying that, well, the cost of having these stairs, you know, we don't need to put a ramp up. Well, guess what? When you have a family member that's been wheelchair bound, you probably think of things a little bit differently. And I've had one. And so, you know, I am not about to, you know, go get into callousness like that when there's so many things that we can do differently and better. And so, you know, shame. And the word is that John Whitmire is going to appoint, you know, one of these smartest guys that are going to be chairman of Metro. That's like putting the wolf to guard the hen house.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, Metro by now would have had transit all around, would have had transit to Katy, all these things. But you know what they did, Connie? Back in the 90s, they took away one quarter of Metro's revenue stream forever.
Oh.
Forever.
My goodness.
Yes.
Why?
So when people, well, because that's what a mayor wanted to do that, uh-huh, to be more police officers. Uh-huh. And so we took transit away. So when people say, how come there's no transit here? Well, that's why. Real simple. That's why you've had the Metro haters that have been doing nothing but throwing stones at Metro for decades. My goodness, why don't you embrace Metro? There's 4,000 people who work there hard to make this city move. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't have it, if you didn't have Metro, number one, you know, the medical center and downtown would be paralyzed,
mm-hmm,
because that's how almost one third of the people use some Metro service to get there. That's number one. Number two, can you imagine trying to go to the rodeo without Metro?
Oh, God.
How many times have you tried to go to the rodeo or a Texan game or something, or a Dynamo game?
U of H game.
Yeah. You cannot drive.
There's too much traffic.
The Texan game.
It's horrible.
The rodeo, you can't do it. It's Metro is jam-packed. And can you imagine if we just said one day, well, we just need to the subsidies and we just need to eliminate Metro. Guess what that would do? We would never get the Super Bowl again. Mm-hmm. We would never get the World Cup, the Final Four, all these great things that we get. We wouldn't get any of them. Why? Mm-hmm. Because there's no way to pull it off without transit. So when they start saying, well, the cost is this. Well, what about the value and the money generated from all these activities that are here because of Metro?
Exactly.
I mean, come on. We got to get past all this kind of stuff. And we got to get going. And we need to support transit. Because here's the other thing, Connie. Did you know that back in the day when systems were built all over the country, if Metro had a dollar, the federal government gave us $4.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
That's a lot of leverage, right? That's a lot of power, right? Yeah. Well, now, when we built the light rail extension, when I was Metro chairman, when Metro put in a dollar, mm-hmm. the federal government gave us $1.
Wow.
Why? Because the federal government doesn't have any money anymore. Soon it's going to be, if you put in a dollar, the federal government would give you 50 cents. Oh. And by the way, thank you, Sheila Jackson Lee. Yes, she's running for mayor against me, but the bottom line, I'm going to call it like I see it, which is, if it weren't for her, look, a lot of people worked hard. There's no doubt. And a lot of people, including me. But she was unrelenting to get that $1 billion, $900 million from the federal government. Unrelenting.
Thank God.
Yes, thank God. And so it was her money that led to the expansion of the light rail. So going back, the other thing about it is when you do light rail or when you do transit, it's not just transit. You redo the entire streets. You do the drainage. You put in sidewalks. What's that value? I mean, you can't just say, well, they're only paying 4%. No, the point is you redo the sidewalks. You redo all the drainage, which we know we need to do. You redo the streets. Heaven forbid all these streets are busted up anyway, which is why we need to redo them all.
They're so bad.
So we just need to just get real. And it's enough of this already. And let's get moving and get Houston moving. And so my view is, of course, that BRT line, I'm just getting going, Houston. And by the way, I'm already being told, Connie keeps kicking me under the table, that I have more callers. And I will do more about Metro because I'm going to get the numbers on the subsidy. I'm going to tell it to you straight. I know there was another call. Just hold up the sign. Is there a Larry still on the line? Larry, I know you've been waiting a long time. And I don't know if you were the one that was going to talk about Whitmire, which I don't mind if you do or don't. Larry, if you're there, pal, I apologize to you because you're holding. Go ahead. Did I lose Larry?
Larry? One moment.
Larry, did I lose you?
He's there.
Larry. Larry, can you hear me?
Gilbert, I sure can.
Larry, I apologize to you, my friend. I didn't mean to have you on hold a long time, but I got rolling and I just couldn't stop it when I get a rolling. But you're on, man, my friend. You got five radio stations that want to hear what you got to say right now.
All right. Well, great. Well, I'll tell you this story in a story format. I was talking to my friends about my high water bills. 9 years ago, I paid $35 a month for water and sewage, and the price kept on going up. So I started asking my friends, what do you pay? They were telling me this outrageously low prices. So I decided, I started calling around. I called my city council woman and then called by the mayor. Nobody wanted to do anything about it, okay? So I thought, okay, what can I do? So I got water bills from friends around Texas. And what I found out is that everybody knows that we're paying too much for water or is upset about the water bill. But what we don't know is that we are paying, on average, 3 to 4 times
Larry, more. Larry, how is that, though? What's going on? You know, were you the one that reached out to me about water bills?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I want a whole episode on this because I need you to school me up. I need you to school up Houston because I've noticed my water bills tripled. So what is going on? I mean, the water and the water pipes and everything are the same. Is there something going on that's making them more expensive?
I don't know. I'll tell you what the city will tell you is that we're under a federal injunction. They'll tell you that. And they'll tell you that they have benchmarked Houston's water over other cities, and they said whether they're the same. Well, they're lying, okay? I don't know the reason for it.
What's the injunction about? Tell us, when injunction means like you're under their order, right? Isn't that what that means?
Yes.
And, well, so what are we injunction about?
Well, it's our poor sewage. It's said that our, the federal government said our sewage was the health of the citizens of Texas. And this is what the city is telling me. So I don't know if this is true or not. But what I do know is this, is when Mayor White ran for governor of the state of Texas, before he ran, the big issue at that time was city taxes and municipalities raising city taxes. So he ran on a platform that he didn't raise taxes. But what he did is he drained all the rainy day funds. And one of those was the water pipelines and the sewage lines. And then we had a drought, and they started cracking. So the city said, okay, well, we need to raise to make up for this, okay, to replenish our rainy day fund. And so then they did, but they said this is, well, my understanding was going to be temporary. But no, they continue to do it. And I just read in Click 2 News, this year is a 17% increase in water.
Yeah.
And you know, Larry, what's terrible about that too is there are so many people in Houston that are struggling right now. You can see that in the Kinder survey. Thank goodness for the Kinders and all the stuff they do. Yeah. The Kinder survey, the Hobby Center poll, people, I think there was some ridiculous high percent that said if they had an extra $400, something came up, they wouldn't be able to even pay for it. Some people are one check away from being homeless. And the water bills going up on people on fixed income. What are they going to do? Larry, I think I want you on the show, or I need to call you at the beginning of the show, because I would like to know your research, how much water bills are in other comparable cities. And I'd like to know, to the best of your knowledge, you know, why it's higher and when did it start going higher?
Hey, that's funny, Gilbert, is it in Houston mud districts, three different mud districts, I have friends that live in those districts. They pay almost three times, 2.84% less than we do. So we pay 2.84, and they're in Houston, Harris County. Mm-hmm.
So why? I mean, I don't even. You're gonna have to school me up on the whole concept of you're in Houston, but yet you're in a mud district. I got to understand what all that means. But ultimately, it doesn't make sense, and we've got to do something to help people. Number one, understand it. And number two, how do you help them so they don't lose their homes and become homeless? Did you know, and I know you're really busy, but did you know that the cost of a homeless person, according to, and I'm not making this up, the Coalition for the Homeless, et cetera, and thank God for all the great work they do. But if you look at the mental health, the normal health care, the justice system and all of those things, when you add it all up, the cost is about, and counseling services, is over $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Right. Wow. So think of it this way. This is all about math, and I'm an investment guy. So if you could have a fund that helps some of these people with these water bill increases, then you probably will be saving a ton of money, because if they became homeless and they fall into the system, the cost to society is so great. I mean, who doesn't get that? We've got to help these people stay in their homes.
There is a fund that's available. We have millions of dollars for this. And Nathan, when I come on your show, I'll have that information for people.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. You know what I'm going to do right now, if you don't mind, because, God, it's unbelievable. I'm running out of time already. But, Larry, you are a gentleman. So I'm going to, if you call back the call-in number, and if you call it back here after the show ends technically at noon, and then we typically have a minute or two close on social media. So if you call like at 12:10, just give them your number.
Okay.
If you don't mind. And they're going to give you my cell phone number, although everybody has it. It's 713-443-4330. And my wife always says, you can't be telling your phone on the, but everybody's got it. When I was chairman of Metro, I gave the whole city my cell phone, and I would get people calling me, this bus, the da 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 is not, and you know what I would do? I'd call Metro, this bus, and they'd go fix it.
Nice.
You know, I really mean it. And,
Well, one thing, very quickly, thing we need to do is hire people. We have an election coming up in November. We need to hire people who will look after the people's business, because they're the ones who are failing us. It's not only in the state, it's in the state, it's in the city, it's in the federal government. And we can talk, I can talk hours about that.
Well, the reason I'm running is I'm just want to, you know, I just think the city should do better. I'm frustrated because first I saw somebody sent an email to the mayor that if he got his project through early, he would give the mayor, he'd give the city $500,000 or he would go to the mayor's favorite charity, $500,000. And that sounded a little bit pay to play to me, and nobody thought anything about it. Shame. And then the housing director said that the, housing department, it's a culture of corruption. I'm paraphrasing because I don't know precisely what he said now. And of course he got fired. And now of course the district attorney now has gone in there. And of course we just lost a $60 million grant.
Oh my
gosh. Like, who's paying attention? I want to make sure I'm making a note to myself. I want to talk about this $60 million grant that they just forfeited. And then of course the firefighters, we haven't had a contract in 6-7 years. The people voted for them. You know, HISD took over, was taken over by the state after 10-year warning from Austin. They finally took it over. And in the meantime, the only people that suffered were the kids. And then, yeah, I could keep going. And then the recent, the health department was raided by the FBI. And then two of the city haulers were both indicted. One of them pled guilty to bribery. I mean, we got to change. If you want the same old career politicians and this and that, well, don't vote for me. But if you want someone who's going to go in there and turn it upside down and get to the bottom of it, vote for me, because that's what I'm going to do. But Larry, you're a good man. Would you please call us? Because I want to get that information from you.
Well, I'm voting for you, Gilbert.
Well, look at Larry. You know what? Well, you know, you and my mother. I appreciate that, Larry. I really mean it. But most importantly, what I appreciate in all seriousness, bringing up an issue about water, because I've been hearing it now, and I want to focus on it, and I want to talk about it. So I'm going to put that on my to-do list. The other thing, by the way, is remember, Houston, that we had those ridiculous things where they put up these cement things to wall off a bike lane or whatever, and I had two people talking about it. Well, guess what? They tore them back down.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the good news is they tore them back down because there was no reason to have them. But the bad news is, why do they put them up in the first place, and what did that cost? And how come the smartest guys in the room aren't looking at projects that we build and then tear down, and then, you know, and why aren't they looking at that?
Sounds like a waste of money.
Oh, I know. So anyways, it related to the bike lanes, and I got nothing against bike lanes, but the bottom line is, and I know I got 3 minutes, and I know I've got three callers waiting, all three of you, I apologize. Please call again. And I know there was someone I mentioned about John Whitmire. Look, I'll take any call. But on the bike lane thing, you know, there are communities that have open ditches, and the ditches get full and nobody cleans them out. There are communities that don't get their trash picked up. You know, a bike lane is like a luxury. Let's get these communities that aren't participating in the services that they deserve, let's get them some equality there.
Yeah.
And then we can worry about sort of the wants that we want versus the things that we must have. The other thing I'm told is stray animals in certain communities are everywhere. People are scared to let their kids out and play. Can you imagine that?
Dangerous.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So, my gosh, I only got a minute and a half. You know, Houston, we live in the greatest city in the world, and I want Houston to be in the breadth of the great cities of the world. When people talk about great cities, I don't mean be better than some other Texas city or San Antonio or Austin. I mean New York, London, Paris, Barcelona, Munich, Madrid, Tokyo. I want us to be one of the great cities of the world. Let's do it, and let's do it together. I'm Gilbert Garcia. Yes. I'm ready to be mayor, and let's play our last thing, and let's tune off here, Mr. Producer. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.
I think we are signing off. Are we done there, Mr. Producer, on this episode?